Welcome to The Mortgage Life, a space for down-to-earth conversations about how mortgages contribute to your life.
Well, that sounds canned and maybe a little boring.
What? There are so many parts to the mortgage industry and real estate finance we can explore and share with our listeners.
Okay, you're right. You're right, Mindy. Our goal is to help secure our clients' financial future.
I'm Pete Solomosi.
I'm Mindy Bodwin.
And I'm Sue Solomosi. We're your hosts. Welcome to The Mortgage Life.
So today with us, we have Adam Lawrenson, who is the president of Adlaw Appraisals. And realistically, Adam, I'm going to get into like a little bit of an intro about yourself, but I got to go back to the concept that one of my grade school teachers put in my head, which was the five W's, the who, what, where, when, and why. Oh, and then they said sometimes how. So my big question is, one of the W's, like, why do we even have appraisals?
Yeah, great question, Pete, and happy to be on your podcast today. Why do we have appraisals? Yeah, I often ask myself the same question. And I know that the clients that we deal with, mortgage brokers, et cetera, you guys don't want an appraisal. You want to just, get the client their money and move on to the next thing. And so the reason we have appraisals, or the why appraisals are required, are because the banks are lending money on an asset, which is their primary residence or investment property, some sort of real estate. And when the lenders are deciding on how much to lend, on what terms, et cetera, they want to know how much that property is worth, because they don't want to lend, say you have an investment property at $500,000, or that's what it's approximately worth. They don't want to lend you $1 million on that asset, right? Because if something happens for whatever reason, they want to be able to recoup their losses and sell the property. They usually want to sell it, quite quickly. They don't want to hold on to a property for a year or 2 years or even 3 months. They want to kind of rapid sell that property and recoup their losses. So they often will get some sort of valuation on the property, whether it's a full appraisal, whether it's a drive-by, a desktop. Sometimes they don't even order an appraisal at all. They have automated valuation models. They can use BC assessment, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they want to guarantee that the asset is worth what they think it's worth, so they can lend an appropriate amount of money.
So hang on. They won't take my word for it that it's worth $1 million?
They'd probably take your word for it, but I'm speaking about the general population.
You just sound very official, Pete. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, all that's very important. So the reason they pull that trigger is because what the appraiser brings to the table in these situations is an unbiased third party opinion of value. We have no stake in the game. We're completely independent, and we come in at it from a very objective standpoint, and we tell the lender, we think this property is worth X, and then they can, lend an appropriate amount of money, whether it's 60% loan to value, 80% loan to value. At least they know their risk tolerance and they have that valuation to hedge their losses in case of a default on that mortgage.
And there's been another layer of that unbiasedness added to the equation, where I know when I started 11 years ago, we could quite often order our appraisals directly from an appraiser. And now I'm finding that there's a lot of third-party appraisal companies, where as a broker, we have to order through this company who then orders from the appraiser to kind of add that extra level of protection.
Extra layers. Adam, can you talk to us a little bit about the difference between, you talked about auto valuation systems and BC assessment and all of that. Can you explain the difference between those a little bit?
So an appraisal is done by a designated appraiser. They inspect the property and they provide an opinion of value as of a certain date. It's basically as accurate as you can get when it comes to valuing a property. Automated valuation model basically takes a bunch of data that can be found online through either BC assessment, through MLS. They use information, statistical information. They pile that all together and they spit out a value based on all these data points. So it is, it is a slightly less accurate valuation. But again, if the lender's doing a low loan to value, they just need a ballpark. And sometimes an AVM or an automated valuation model will give you a good kind of ballpark valuation. Another value that people look at sometimes are the BC assessment valuations. And those are actually not valuations. Those are assessments, and they are done on a mass appraisal basis or a mass assessment basis. So an assessment is done specifically to allocate the tax base amongst a certain jurisdiction. In addition, an assessment is always 6 months behind schedule, or 6 months dated, up to 18 months dated. So if you're looking at assessment on December 31st, that assessment was done based on a valuation date of July 1st of the previous year. So it's already 18 months outdated, completely unreliable in the markets that we're in, because they're changing so quickly.
I was just going to say, 18 months ago, I don't we were in a completely different world.
Mm-hmm. Totally different. Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see what the assessments come out this year, given we had the rapid increase and then a bit of a rapid decrease. So
yeah.
Yeah.
A big roller coaster. And that makes, you know, the assessment or the assessor's job very difficult. And it makes our job difficult as appraisers too, because we're trying to find the best comparable sales to determine value. And it's a difficult job trying to pinpoint. It's like, you know, a pin on a donkey with a blindfold on sometimes, or shooting darts, because there's a lack of sales and we have to go back in time. And because it's been such a roller coaster of a market, it's difficult to pinpoint those values.
Well, it adds validity to why we need appraisals, because things change so drastically.
Yeah. An appraisal is a third party unbiased opinion of value. It's the most accurate way you can determine the value of a property as of a given point. So the appraiser does a full inspection of the property that can include a measurement, detailed analysis of the size, the location, the site influences. So we really try to focus on all the details of the property. And then where the real work happens for an appraisal is the research and analysis. So finding comparable sales that have sold recently, and using all that information and our appraiser judgment and our experience to put a final value on that property. And that value, it's a hypothetical sale price of that property. What would that property most likely sell for if you put a for sale sign in the front yard, give it 30 to 60 days of marketing with a realtor? What would that property sell for? One other thing that's important in the appraisal process is, because we're doing it for mortgage financing purposes for your clients, every lender has different appraisal requirements. So, you know, the lender might not want to include an outbuilding. They might not want to include the shop. They might not want to include the extra 20 acres at the back. So it's important that, you know, an appraisal is looked at very clearly from beginning to end and all the requirements that the specific lender has.
So I'll go ahead and ask the question, because this comes up a lot, where the client pays for the appraisal and then says, when are you going to send me a copy? I always have to say, unfortunately, that's the bank's appraisal, even though you paid the cost. So what's the hurdle there?
Yeah, great question, Mindy. So, you know, 10 years ago, we would hand out appraisals left, right, and center. You want an appraisal? Sure, you can have it. So homeowners got copies, you know, anyone could get a copy of the appraisal as long as they asked for it, especially if they paid for it. So what happened after a number of years of clients or homeowners getting a copy of this appraisal and using it for tax purposes and using it in their separation and taking that appraisal, you know, from one lender and using it for another lender, is that we kept on increasing our liability and getting sued from clients that were not the original clients in the appraisal. So, you know, Sue, if you order an appraisal for one of your clients for Scotiabank, we're doing that appraisal for Scotiabank. They are the client, and they're actually the only person who can see that report, besides yourselves who take the report and act as a conduit between the appraiser and the lender. But generally speaking, the lender is the only one that can see that report. We're just doing the appraisal for one purpose, for one client, and that's it.
Essentially, like relying on those details to make their decisions on how they're going to move forward with mortgage financing.
Exactly. And the appraisal is written and designed for the lender only. We just say, and this is an appraisal guideline across Canada, is that the appraisal just goes to the client, which in your case is the lender.
I have a question that's kind of an aside to this conversation. It's about insurance. Typically, when you insure a property, they'll want pictures and details of the home itself so that they can get their binder or whatever they need to put insurance in place. Is that a fair ask if a client wants even like the pictures out of an appraisal or...
Yeah, so we have privacy issues. And funnily enough, even though it's their home, the photos were taken on behalf of the lender. So the lender kind of owns the report and anything that's in it. So they are, they would have to provide release or authorization for us to release those photos. So we do not release photos to the homeowner. We do not release photos to anybody else. It just, they stay in the report and go to the client.
There are other instances where appraisals would be required, and you kind of touched on some of those, like in a separation to determine the value of the matrimonial home, or, you know, if a seller, for example, wanted to do a private sale and get an appraisal just to kind of get their own value. So in those cases, the reports could be used by that person. Again, the end user is different, right? In that case,
it would exactly. Be yeah. What we recommend is that, you know, if you are in touch with the client for some mortgage financing related items, and then they also want it to potential sell or litigation or divorce or you name it, they can reach out to us privately and we'll do another appraisal for them. And we'll work it out so they can get a bit of a discount on the appraisal, because we've already, you know, done an inspection, but we'll have to go back there and take some new photos, write the report for the intended use, which whatever it is, if it's for tax purposes, separation or divorce, marketing or listing purposes, we write that appraisal with that use in mind.
I had a file last year where the client, the property was going through an estate sale, and we also were looking to do financing on it. So I was very clear with the client, look, if we're doing a report for a lender, then we need to also establish with the appraiser that there's going to be a separate use for it, or potentially a separate use, so that they can separate their liability, I suppose.
Exactly. So we'd want to pretty much write two reports in that regard, but there'd be one for the mortgage financing and one for the other purpose that you mentioned.
Right. So you can tailor it how it needs to be done.
Yeah.
Right.
So Adam, at the beginning, I went through and I said, I got five W's, but I also said there's a how.
Right.
So I want to find out, how did you get into the appraisal industry?
Yeah, good question. I was born up and raised in an appraisal related family. So my dad was a realtor his whole life. So I remember, you know, at 6 years old, I was going to the office with him, and he managed a team of 200 realtors in Surrey and Guildford. And when I was about 10 years old, he actually left the real estate sales industry and started an appraisal company in 1993. And it grew to one of the biggest residential only appraisal companies in BC. I think there was about 23 appraisers there. And it was actually run out of our basement. So there was, you know, two administrators, my dad working, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, and 10 or 12 appraisers coming through our house every day. And so I grew up around it. It just kind of soaked into my DNA. So I did understand the value that they were creating for, you know, mortgage brokers, lenders, even homeowners, right? These appraisals are needed to get people the financing that they need. So I felt it was just a really cool career opportunity. And I took an appraisal course. I was about 23, 24, took an appraisal course and just started working that way.
And did you work with your dad?
No, funnily enough, I did, but I started in the appraisal business in 2007. He sold his appraisal business in 2008 to one of his appraisers who had been with him for 15 years. I worked in the assessment authority. I actually worked for the firm that he sold. So I was working as an appraiser at the time he was an appraiser. So there was no real overlap. You know, he was doing his thing, I was doing my thing. But then in 2016, he saw my business thriving, and he actually left the company that he sold and worked for 25 years and came to work for us for a couple of years. So I actually had an opportunity to manage my dad for a couple of years. And I mean, that's a whole other podcast, that experience.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I was going to bring up, like, I started working with my mom at 23 years old in the mortgage industry. So very similar path. What was it like being an appraiser through COVID?
Yeah, it was completely a wild time. Nobody knew what to do or how to approach it. You know, we're a large organization. The Appraisal Institute of Canada has over 2,000 members, and we had never dealt with something like this before. So we were all just pivoting as fast as we could with the information that was coming down the pipeline and trying to keep everybody as safe and as healthy as possible. So what the Appraisal Institute eventually landed on was creating a modified full appraisal. So we were going, doing an exterior inspection. We were looking through windows to confirm all the data. And then we were getting the homeowners to send us time and geostamped photos of the house, because if they're not time and geostamped, there's huge opportunity for fraud, right? And so the time and geostamped photos really helped us provide an accurate appraisal report. It was a wild ride, but I think we really had a culture of technology and forward moving kind of mentality. So as soon as those changes came, we were really quick to adopt them. And yeah, we got a lot of appraisals done during the pandemic as a result. Yeah, it was a wild time. It was tough because, you know, real estate is multifaceted. It's not just ones and zeros. It's very unique ceiling height, floor plans, you know, all these things that make properties very unique and desirable. We couldn't really ascertain that from the photos. So sometimes we'd even ask for a video tour of the property, which is a little more helpful. But yeah, it was tough. We had to put a lot of pieces of a puzzle together in order to come up with a value that was well supported. We'd much rather go into a property than to get those photos, but we did that for a while. And then after, we started to realize that people were using it as kind of a scapegoat to get things done faster and maybe not take a picture of that big hole in the ceiling or that unfinished bathroom in the basement. So we really pushed for full inspection, full interior inspection, so we could be... Yeah, our job is to protect the lender's interest, right? That's why they order the appraisal. They really trust us to provide them accurate information so they can make smart lending decisions. And you know, we're also trying to protect your homeowners too. You know, if your homeowner has a house that's worth $700,000, but they need $800,000 to make the deal work, we're really not putting them in a good position by pushing the value up or hiding anything, right? They may really want that investment property. They really want that lakefront property. But if the numbers don't make sense, you know, they shouldn't be going through with it.
Yeah. And it protects the real estate market as a whole, right? You don't want overinflated real estate values in general. Speaking of which, so as a mortgage broker, in the Yukon, Alberta, and BC, and different markets in BC, I've done quite a few files in the Lower Mainland compared to, say, in the interior in Vernon. I found the pace of the files in the Lower Mainland to be a lot faster. You would have one day to remove the buyer's financing condition, and quite often an appraisal would be required. I remember my first file, New Westminster, and we had 2 days to get an appraisal, and I, you know, it was full panic on my end. And yet the appraiser I talked to said, no problem, we'll get that done for you. So, you know, interestingly, because you guys are based in the Lower Mainland, but then you're also working in the interior, what sort of differences are you seeing in those two markets?
Yeah. So I would say that's a bit of a misnomer. Are we based in the Lower Mainland? Yes and no. We have offices in Vancouver and Kelowna. So the difference in the markets, well, I think you nailed it on the head, Mindy. It's market in the Lower Mainland is crazy, especially Langley, Abbotsford, Chilliwack, like January to April, there was just nuts of stuff happening. You know, people were buying properties, 100 grand over list. It was just out of control and fast turnarounds, real fast closings. Puts a lot of pressure on the appraisers, on the lender, on everybody, but it was the only way they could get properties because the demand was so high for land in the Fraser Valley at the beginning of 2022, about January to April. Yeah, the Okanagan's a little bit of a slower market. So, you know, they're much more reasonable, let's say, in, you know, can we get an inspection? Can we get, you know, a week to complete on this file? Much more reasonable up there. And
it's Okanagan time.
It's Okanagan time, right? That's a beautiful thing. Everyone's got a, I remember when we first went up there, there was nobody in the office on a Friday. I said, where is everybody? Oh, they're golfing. Didn't happen that way in the Lower Mainland. But yeah, so the markets are different in that regard. And as far as valuations are concerned, like in today's market, when things are slowing down, so the volume of sales is down, listings are up, values are dropping. It's the markets like Vernon that do really well. The more affordable markets, when interest rates go up, and I know this isn't an interest rate or a technical conversation, but when interest rates do go up, values go down, and the more affordable properties become more desirable. So people, you saw, you know, kind of the last 5 years, people moving up to the Okanagan from Vancouver, they could sell their 2 million property and get something for $1 million up there. That kind of has changed a little bit as the Okanagan prices have increased. Yeah, people are always looking for something more affordable when they realize they can't afford that $1 million house. They're going to have to go for an $850,000 house. Those cheaper markets or those more affordable markets become bumped up as a result. Does that answer your question, Mindy? I know I kind of danced around a little bit there.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because working in the different markets and then now being in Victoria, we just purchased a house in Victoria. We take possession on Saturday. Eve's super different market again, but similar to the Okanagan in that there's lots of people coming here, right? Especially Lower Mainland folks who sold their home for, you know, $2.5-3 million. And here you can buy one for $2 million, you know?
Yeah. So, oh yeah. I was working in Tawasin in 2015, 16. And that's when there was a lot of foreign money coming in. So people were just cashing out left, right, and center. They'd be selling their house that was worth 1.5. They'd sell it for 2.5 or 3, and they'd move to Victoria. And then I think Victoria had kind of like a run-up as well as a result. Victoria, the Okanagan, these outlying centers where people were either retiring, you know, they could put lots of money in the bank. And then with COVID, people working from home, they can move to some more affordable areas and put money in the bank. Victoria, I don't think is an affordable area anymore, but it was at one point, 2000 and, you know, 14, 15, it's definitely affordable. But every market has its differences, but they're all kind of interconnected. If you think about it, people retiring, people downsizing, people upsizing, and COVID definitely lowered the playing field with a bunch of markets as well, because people can work from home. They'd rather have a big house with a backyard in, say, you know, Vernon than something smaller close to the office in, like, you know, downtown Kelowna, because they don't need to go to the office as much. Maybe it's only 1 or 2 days a week versus 5 days a week. So things are changing, but the interconnectedness of everything is quite interesting.
So on that same line, a lot of appraisal offices are very location specific. We've got appraisers in Vernon, we've got and they, you know, they only go to a specific distance towards Salmon Arm or Kelowna, but you and Adlaw Appraisals is in multiple locations in BC. So I'm curious about what brought you to the Okanagan, aside from your bromance with Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's really all it was, to be honest. So I'm.
It's his sultry voice, isn't it?
It is, and the 5 o'clock shadow. That's,
Peter, you blushed.
Thank you, Adam.
Great question, Sue. So I'm a simple person. I'm a simple guy. I don't do any kind of long-term strategy planning and looking at numbers and all that. We just got asked by a bunch of brokers, hey, why aren't you in Kelowna? We need better appraisers in Kelowna. We need people that have the Vancouver mindset. The speed and the service was huge. So Adlaw was created to really service mortgage brokers. We're going to update you guys every step of the way, when we got payment, when we had the inspection, when you're going to get the report. I mean, to the point of ad nauseum, we communicate with everybody throughout the process. It was just the fact that our broker clients who loved us in the Lower Mainland said, you know, we're doing lots of deals in Kelowna. We'd love to have you guys up there. So it only takes so many requests before you say, okay, you know, we're going to give it a shot. And when we went up there, the positive feedback was huge. And we just thought, okay, here's an opportunity. So we expanded to Vernon. And now we go north, we go to Salmon Arm, Enderby, and we'll cruise around. But, and it also depends on the capacity, but basically Vernon down to Penticton, we'll cover in the Okanagan. And it's been a real awesome experience, because we've got to deal with great people like yourselves and a bit of that Okanagan vibe, right? Like, it's a little bit less go, 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 and a lot of cool properties. So the lakefront stuff is amazing. You have a lot of wineries, the orchards. Yeah, it's all really, really fascinating real estate to appraise. So I like that aspect of it as well.
I'm just going to throw a quick advocacy in there for the Yukon. Very few appraisers up there. We actually just went through a period of time where there was no appraisers, and then there was one appraiser. I had to order one. It cost $2,030 for an appraisal of a recreational property. And it was just, there was nothing we could do. We had to accept it. We had no other option.
Yeah. You're the second person who's mentioned that, I think, in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. And we get that all the time. Thunder Bay, Ontario, like all these little micro markets, people say, Adam, you could go in there and make a killing. I do think that those are opportunities that should be explored, but I think we just want to do the best job for the clients that we have right now and not try to spread ourselves too thin, which, you know, sometimes is tempting, chasing the next flashy thing. But I would have to have about 20 more people tell me that before yeah. I would.
So it's not Mindy telling you 20 yeah. times; it's 20
not
more
two.
People.
Yeah.
We need more than
Mindy
two.
Keep calling me.
I think I was the other one.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
I do have to say, though, you mentioned the communication piece. That's one thing that I really do appreciate about Adlaw, is that we get emails along the way, and I don't have to follow up on it. That saves me a lot of headspace.
Yeah. And we want to even improve that more. So we're working on some automation where your clients also will be getting updated along the way, videos about the appraisal process, what to expect. They'll also be getting email with a confirmation that the email has been completed and sent to the lender. We don't want anyone to be wondering what's going on in the appraisal process. So we're going to take responsibility for that and update the realtors, update the homeowners, and keep everyone kind of in the loop regarding what's going on. Because, you know, if your clients are happy with the whole process and they're kept in the loop, they're going to probably use you guys again, right? You know, they had a good experience with yourselves, had a good experience with the appraiser, and then they'll reach out to you again. And we don't want to be a clog in the wheel. We want to be kind of part of the White House mortgage experience.
We do get clients come back and say, well, whoever that guy was last time, he had a funny hairdo, so.
Yeah, well, that was me. Sorry. I was probably... But no, you know, it's funny, if they don't get the value that they're expecting, they will mention things like that. Like, he showed up 2 minutes late, or he was wearing a collared shirt. He wasn't wearing a suit or this or that.
He showed up with a ruler.
Yeah.
Those folding rulers.
Yeah, right.
With all your experience in the market, Adam, and I can appreciate the length of time that you've been in the market, you've got to have some pretty awesome stories. So crazy story, funny story. Do you have any stories for us?
Yeah. So I haven't appraised in about, I don't do many appraisals anymore, more of a managing the group of appraisers. But while I was appraising, yeah, there was a handful of things. Let me see here. So I've walked in on someone during an erotic episode. Let's just say that. Yeah. Realtors will provide us 1 day codes, and they'll say, oh, the property is vacant. So here's a 1 day code. I was measuring, measuring the property, going in, taking some photos, opening the master bedroom door, thinking nobody was home, and somebody was home. So that was embarrassing. I mean, I was fine with it, but they were embarrassed. I also had I was at a property where it was in Maple Ridge, where it completely smelled like marijuana. And this was during the prohibition time. So this was about 10 years ago. And the guy said, like, it was right outside his shed. And he said, oh, I don't have the keys to the shed. My uncle has them, and my dog just killed a skunk last night, and that's why it smells skunky.
Wow.
So that was
wow.
I had to give him credit, because it was a great excuse. But you know, lenders do want us to access all these outbuildings to see what's going on in them. But he had a good excuse, you know, no key, and his dog had killed a skunk the day before. But a recent one we had actually from one of our appraisers was he went into a one bedroom apartment. It was literally a sex dungeon.
Like 50 Shades of Grey style, or?
You know, with 12 appraisers, we do about 1,000 appraisals a month, and we've been doing this for almost 10 years. So lots of properties. We've seen it all. We've done it all. And, you know, nothing, we're scared of nothing. So don't be ashamed of whatever your house looks like, whatever you have going on. We're happy to go in there and be as objective as possible.
Awesome.
Well, Adam, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and insights from the appraisal industry with us and with our listeners.
Yeah. So thanks for having me, Pete, Mindy, and Sue. You guys are great. We deal with a lot of mortgage brokers, you know, individual mortgage brokers and mortgage broker teams, such as the White House mortgage team. You guys are absolutely a pleasure to deal with. You're on top of things like we are. So we don't like when there's an obstacle or a chain, you know, some sort of disconnected link between getting things done. And so you make it easy for us, and thank you for that.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for buttering us up.
No problem. Anytime. All right. Thanks, guys. Really, really had fun here.
That's a wrap.
Great.
This is The Mortgage Life.
We look forward to continuing the conversation.
So come back and listen.